Stand by for recording with Dr. John Grierson, executive producer of Group 3, 10 seconds from now. Well, welcome to our microphone, sir. And firstly, this very title of Group 3 is a rather peculiar one. What actually is its significance?
Well, Australia has some experience, I think, in the government financing of film production. You've got your film board. Group 3 is one of the three groups not entirely financed by the British government, but certainly supported by the British government. There was some attempt 2 or 3 years ago to bring some order into film production, and the government set up an organisation called the National Film Finance Corporation, which is a film bank, after the style of the famous film bank in Germany.
Yes.
It supports production through the Big Rank organisation, that's Group 1. It supports production through ABC, that's the second big combine here, and then it had the very bright idea, the government, of setting up a third group which would look after the independent film producers, with particular attention to experiment, to the development of young talent, young directorial talent, young writing talent, and so on. Well, Group 3 is the experimental group of the NFFC, that's National Film Finance Corporation of Britain, under government support.
And what sort of money, or what amount of money, are you allowed to expend on your Group 3 productions, Dr. Grierson?
Well, of course, no film producer ever tells the distributor, or the, or certainly doesn't tell the exhibitor how much money he spends on a picture. But I better come clean on this, because it's very important for a country like Australia. Our budget roughly is round about 40,000 less or more, £40,000. It means that we are attempting to make first feature pictures at £40,000, £50,000, which is much less than, of course, the big studios spend. It means, therefore, that we've got to be as mean as possible in our budgeting. We've got to try and make a £90,000 picture for, let's say, £50,000. And it's a feat of much self-sacrifice on the part of everybody concerned. We all take as high wages as we can get, but we certainly try to act like civil servants in the matter. We our overhead is the lowest possibly in the world. We try to put all our money on the screen, and that must be a problem that could be interesting for Australia, because if they've got to go into production in a big way, they've simply got to measure the tailor their entire production to figures like that.
And how many films a year does the unit hope to produce?
Well, last year we did something like, I suppose, about 7.
Will they be distributed on a world market?
Well, I can only tell you the facts. I mean, the fact is that The Brave Don't Cry is opening in New York presently. Brandy for the Person, our first picture on this experiment, was opened very successfully in New York.
Mm-hmm. What about Australia?
Of course, they go to Australia. I hope that the mining people of Australia, I hope... Broken Hill, is it?
Yes, yes.
I hope Broken Hill will see The Brave Don't Cry, because I think it may be the best mining film since Kameradschaft.
You're going back a long way when you mention Kameradschaft, aren't you?
That really was a great...
Yes. I don't know whether very many people would remember it in Australia, but if The Brave Don't Cry approaches anywhere near the... success of Kameradschaft and the feeling, I'm certain that it will be successful.
I'll tell the people of Broken Hill right now, it is about miners. It is really but true. It is good.
Now, you've mentioned The Brave Don't Cry and Brandy for the Parson. Those are two. Any others that you've done recently?
Well, as I think most people know, who are interested in the movie, England has got a very wonderful tradition in the way of satire. They've had things like Whiskey Galore, they've had Passport to Pimlico. We're very conscious that this may be one of the strong lines in England today. And we've made 2 or 3 satires ourselves. We've made Time, Gentlemen, Please. I confess the time gentleman police was made because I spent most of my life in the civil service, and I thought it was time somebody made fun of the bureaucrats. So we bashed the bureaucrats around in Time Gentlemen Please. We've done another satire called Miss Robin Hood, which is we're bashing the popular newspapers around. In that case, we've done another one called The Oracle, which is, I'm afraid, based on the fact that a popular newspaper one day discovered a source of truth and didn't know what to do with it.
That sounds possible.
I hope it's, Australia's got some very fast newspapers. I think they appreciate that one.
And anything else? I understand, for instance, that you have a couple of Australians associated with Group 3 who have recently been working on a film out there.
You think of Don Sharp, are
That's
you?
That's right.
Well, Don Sharp, awfully good-looking young Australian, by the way, he's a fellow with, I think, very unique ideas. He came to me one day with the idea of making a film kidding the whole business of Atom Secrets. You know, I suppose it was a simple idea that a lot of children stumbled on the Atom Secret, with all kinds of implications, you can imagine, with the FBI and the MI5 and all these other important people. Well, we've made that picture, and we're calling it Child's Play.
Child's Play.
Sharp has got a very curious mind. I mean, he's got rather unique ideas, and I think we'll possibly make another picture of his. But in this case, we had another Australian, a girl called Margaret Thompson, to direct. Now, Margaret Thompson is, in my view, one of the, you know, the women film directors are pretty rare, but I think she's one of the greats. I think she was born in New Zealand, brought up in Australia.
Yes.
But she's done marvelous stuff on children, and we elected her to direct this Child's Play.
Well, it's good to know that Aussies are well represented in Group 3 anyway, at least. Now, your name, of course, is always associated with the documentary film movement, which is applied to very many things these days which are not documentary, but I wonder if you could tell us briefly if your productions in Group 3 are in any way along the same lines that you were working on years ago with, say, Drifters and...
Listen, let me tell you something about documentary. You know, the whole use of the word began when I did a review once in New York. I was working in New York at the time for the New York Sun. I did a review of a film not unassociated with your part of the world. I was reviewing Bob Flaherty's Moana.
Oh, yes.
Which,
yes,
if I remember rightly, was a New Zealand mandate, wasn't it?
British Moana. Tell you.
British Samoa was a New Zealand mandate. Anyway, it was part of your world. And I said, this film has documentary value. And for some reason or other, the word stuck. Now, it's become a very important word for a lot of people across the world. And it really means, I suppose, in essence, that one does try to come close to reality.
Yes.
It means no more.
No.
For instance, The Brave Don't Cry, which is about a mining disaster in Scotland, is terribly near the truth. I assure you, it's terribly near the actual truth of the disaster. But none of it was shot in the mine.
No.
And it was shot in studio. The whole thing was done with actors. The whole thing was done with the full realism, certainly of the spiritual truth, but actually in terms of plaster and all the rest. Now, if you ask me if I'm true to documentary in doing the work I'm now doing, I say I am. I'm trying to get as near reality as ever. It may be that I'm using studio terms, but I hope that realism will be the final issue. Now, please, 2 points. We made this picture called The Brave Don't Cry. That's mining stuff. Everybody will know that's terribly realistic. I'm making another picture presently in Uganda on about Negroes, and it will be an all-black picture. Just no fooling, it will be all-black,
yes.
And I hope that for the first time we'll make a picture in which one's fellow men, black though they be, are like ourselves. That's plain realism.
That will be shot out that
but
in Uganda.
Please, I want to say, yes, it will be shot in Uganda, but the second point I want to make is that why shouldn't, if I'm making satire, I don't think I'm going very far away from realism.
No, you're
it seems to me the last reality of all is Swift and
yes.
Gulliver's Travels.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm sure that those last statements of yours will give many film enthusiasts and students of the cinema who possibly think along slightly different lines plenty of food for thought. Now, finally, Doctor, you, of course, know quite a lot about our film movement and workings in Australia. You were out there not so very many years ago.
I want to send a hello to Stan Hawes out there, by the way, who's done such a wonderful job with your film board.
By all means, well, I was going to...
May I do that?
Yes, yes, do so.
I mean, the boxers all do it, so why shouldn't I?
Yes, yes, of course. Send him, say what you like to him right now.
It's just that I think the Australia, with its National Film Board, has, you know, done a wonderful job. I mean, one or two of the films that come over there have really given the whole world an image of Australia, of its heart, of its feeling, and of that strange light that only Australia has.
Yes. That Australian sun.
It's a curious quality of atmosphere. I don't know. I've never seen anything like it in my whole life.
Well, you certainly haven't got it over here.
We're a little translucent. You're opaque.
Yes, I think so. Well, thank you very much, Doctor, anyway, for those very interesting remarks about the film industry in general, and particularly about Group 3, and for the very kind things you've said about our small, but we hope, not unimportant film industry in Australia.
Listen, if I may say a word, I was grateful for any opportunity to talk to a country that I love very much.
Well, thank you very much, sir.